Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to be coming to you from the Religious Ed Congress here in, it's the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress. Each year it happens about this time, but it's coming from, we're coming to you from Orange County, just south of Los Angeles. They have it every year at the Anaheim Convention Center because that's a perfect place to have a giant meeting of thousands of people. We're very, very grateful to EWTN for sharing their studio with us. Tom Price here taking care of us, making sure everything is working. And we're going to have folks, all the questions will come from the folks here on the floor of the Congress here at the Anaheim Convention Center. So hang on. If you've got a question, you're going to have to call us on Monday or get here quick. We're only going to be here for 2 hours. When I give out the phone number, because you know that I probably will, it'll be a mistake. I shouldn't be giving out the phone number this hour. Second hour, Tim Staples will be here with us. We'll do an Ask Me Anything with Tim Staples. First hour, we have a very special guest, Father Agostino Torres. He's a Franciscan Friar of the Renewal. That's Father Benedict Groeschel's group. We're going to talk this hour about evangelizing Gen Z. Well, what do we need to do to evangelize the young folks today? Father Agostino Torres is the founder of Corazon Puro and Latinos por la Vida, and he's the author of Prepare Your Heart. Welcome, Father. Thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you very much, Cy. It's great, great to be here.
Oh, and you got a round of applause. Holy smokes.
I better take it in. It doesn't always happen.
I'm going to say the beloved Father Agostino Torres. So first, if I may, if you could just tell me a little bit about Corazon Puro and Latinos por la Vida and what you do there.
Absolutely. So when I was first assigned as a priest in the South Bronx, we had a situation. The Bronx is one of the highest levels of abortion in the entire country.
Oh, Lord.
Something about 40%
of children?
Yes, are aborted. And then there's another, at the time when we started, there was about 70% that were single-parent homes. So where do you even start with there? How do you, like, we want to build up marriage. Like, how do you even do that in that setting? Some of the numbers have shifted down. But that's why we founded Corazon Puro. We would go to the abortion clinics and be there and trying to talk to the women before they went in. And I began to ask the question, what happens if instead of 5 minutes before, we go 5 years before?
Okay.
We go 10 years before.
Yeah.
And we bring them the beautiful teaching of John Paul II, of the theology of the body, of what we would call an integral anthropology,
yep,
which is a fancy way of saying the Catholic view of the human person, which is completely being under attack in our society, and then build a community where these young people could grow in this context. And so we started building leaders, and it grew from there. The young people were just saying things like, yeah, this saved my life. And I was like, wow, okay, maybe this is something a little bit more than what I first thought. It spread to four different states, four different countries. And about, 26,000 young people have passed through our program.
Praise
in
God.
16 years.
Yeah. And learning that that they're not worthless, I suppose, is the beginning of it, right? That they're here on purpose, and that purpose is somebody loves them.
Cy, it is incredible. I thought, like, the teaching of theology of the body was going to, like, what they said over and over and over again. When we spoke about everyone has an inherent human dignity, they said this is what touched their hearts the most. And it made me a little mad.
Because, like, nobody told them this.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah, right.
And they're already in their 20s and like, wow. So we've been sharing the message that everyone has an inherent human dignity. Obviously, this is pro-life. But it's pro-life for the people who are already born.
Right, yeah, right. So, pro-life for everybody.
Everybody.
Because God loves everybody. So what are you doing here at the Congress? What are you up to?
So I'm presenting a couple of things. Part of that mission of evangelization, I put together a confirmation program working with our Sunday visitor that's enculturated. There's a lot of poor parishes as Franciscans, where we're focusing on the areas that don't have that many resources. And it's a confirmation program that's engineered for the parish where you got that one priest and he's got a whole bunch of awesome volunteers. and they all need formation.
Yeah.
And we want to make that priest's job easier. It's called Real Formation. We're launching it today. It's getting launched today, and it has a whole bunch of resources for that situation in the church, which is happening a whole lot.
Oh, that's great. Partnering with Our Sunday Visitor on that.
Correct.
So if people want to know about it, they should go to Our Sunday Visitor's website? Absolutely,
or look up realformation.com.
So how long have you been a priest, Father?
I've been a priest for 16 years.
16 years. You're so young.
Well, you know, I mean, daily adoration does great things for your skin.
So I would like to ask you about your order, because I do think many people are familiar with Father Benedict Grischel. And so tell me about the Franciscan Friars. Wait, am I going to say it right? Franciscan Friars of the Renewal?
Correct.
I panicked. I thought I was going to say it wrong right in your presence. So go ahead.
The Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, Father Benedict Grischel and a group of seven other Capuchin friars in the 80s felt a call to kind of like begin again, to start from scratch, to go into, really inspired by Mother Teresa, who was also going into the South Bronx at the time, to kind of like, they asked the question, who are the lepers of our society today? And they really discerned, at this time, homelessness was just peaking in New York City, and there weren't that many resources out there, and so they went into the South Bronx in the 80s, when the Bronx was burning, feeling that call to begin again, to live a simple life, to take on the simple charisms, simple in quotation marks, of caring for the poor and evangelization. And thus was born the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. And so they started out with 8 members in 1987. We have about 140 members now. And I'm on the council for this community, which is basically, it's kind of like the executive committee for religious life talk for an executive board.
Uh-huh. We're talking with Father Agustino Torres of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Our topic this hour is evangelizing Gen Z. If anybody would like to ask a question of Father Agustino Torres, just make your way over to Thomas. We call him Thomas the TikTok Engine, and he'll get you signed up. But I want to ask you about, like, I guess I'll just start with our topic. How did you come to be concerned about evangelizing? I think I can kind of gather from your previous statements, but with evangelizing Gen Z, and what are we getting right? What are we getting wrong about evangelizing?
Well, sorry, that's a huge question. There's a lot to say about that. How I got started in on it is for about 10 years, my community has asked me to be what's called an itinerant preacher, meaning that my full-time job is I go around and I preach. And so I've been invited to go all around this country and a couple other different countries just to speak to mostly young people. There's a lot of these diocesan conferences. And thanks be to God, I'm fluent in English and Spanish. And so there's a lot of need to preach in these two milieus. And so I've been confronted with the shifting culture.
Okay.
So when I first started, I was preaching to millennials.
Okay.
And I was trying to figure that out. And things have changed. Things have definitely changed after COVID. And this is what began to spark in my mind, okay, what is going on? Because sometimes in the church, and the church goes at the pace that the church goes, and this is good, and I love the church. But sometimes things have already happened, and we're just kind of trying to figure them out. I was just saying.
We're still working on Napoleon. I don't think we've figured that out.
I think you're right.
Yeah, okay.
I think you're right. But these young people, the culture is shifting so quickly. And so I began to ask the question, what does it mean to evangelize Gen Z?
Okay.
What's different?
Okay. And what does it mean?
What does it mean? Well, there's a couple of differences. Gen Z, so the internet has happened, and Pandora's box has been opened.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gen Z is the first generation that never knew life without the internet, without technology. Millennials can still remember what it was like before iPhone 4 came out.
Right.
But the millennials, this has been their existence. And so that's one aspect. Another aspect is that they're very mission-minded. You speak to these young people, and they want to do something. They want to change the world. Like, well, I want to start a business that's going to help people do this, do that. The catch is, and this is all research-based, the catch is it's not necessarily from Christian values
okay.
that they want to operate. from they want to do something good. They're not exactly sure how, and they're not exactly they don't have necessarily a moral ethic in going about this. So when I read that, I was thinking, okay, this is good, and at the same time, it's a little scary.
Yeah.
But it also gives me a sense of urgency to engage these young people because they're going to do something amazing. But I want it to be with a Christian heart.
Praise God. Yeah. Father Agustino Torres, our guest from the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, we're talking about evangelizing Gen Z. We have to take our first break, and then we'll take some questions from right here at the room. In the room, we're broadcasting live from the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress at the Anaheim Convention Center. If you're in the area, come by, say hello. Right back with more Father Agustino Torres on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
EWTN Radio is growing. Are you an experienced radio producer looking for an opportunity to help forward Mother Angelica's mission of evangelization? We need a passionate, multi-skilled, talented professional who can manage all aspects of producing world-class radio programming. You could be the newest member of the EWTN Radio family. If this is you or someone you know, email a resume and cover letter, including salary requirements, to ewtn.com/employment.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Just having a great time getting to visit with Father Agustino Torres, a Franciscan friar of the Renewal from the Bronx. And previously, I just want you to know that I only knew one thing about the Bronx, that it's up and the battery's down. Do you know what I'm... He's so young, he doesn't know what I'm referring to. Oh, that's an old song. It's a very old song. The Bronx is up and the battery's down. I apologize for that. All right, so we have Juan here to ask a question. And Juan, thank you for coming. It's an experiment now. We'll see if we can get you on. Go ahead with your question for Father.
First of all, I'd just like to say I'm from Atlanta, California, from the Parish Christ Good Shepherd. And we've encountered ourselves many times from NCYC to like our San Bernardino Diocese event that we've had. And it's just awesome to always see you, Father Agustino. I just have the question of being able to like ask. I am a youth coordinator at my parish, and it's very difficult for us to kind of grasp the teens. Like, we have an amazing confirmation program. They came and they saw you yesterday at LA Youth Day, and they were like so enthusiastic with your energy and everything that you were presenting. But then they go back and they're like, okay, that's the end, you know. So I just want to know, as a youth coordinator, I'm trying my best to like get them to come back and to be able to relive that every single time we try going to the chapel, we try doing everything, we invite our priest. It's like our numbers went from 40s to 60 people to like 10, 12, sometimes 8 or less. So my question is, how can I get those numbers up again?
Well, it's a great question, Juan. Thank you so much for the work that you do, the love that you pour into walking with the young people. It is a battle, but it is a beautiful thing. And now remember, anytime we're doing something good for God, there's going to be an enemy that wants to come against us. When we're working with young people, there's also a battle to kind of like keep them engaged. And the temptation is like there's a lot of things coming at our young people right now. And in a way, we can't compete with a lot of the media, the all these other things that are like, you know, they spend millions of dollars producing it. Like we can't compete on that level. But what we can compete is actually something that they're really looking for: community. a sense of that they're important. So walking with them, listening to them, these are things that are missing in their lives. They feel like nobody sees them. This is something that obviously Jesus brought. This is what Jesus did when he encountered somebody. They knew that they, to use a very Gen Z phrase, they felt seen by the Lord. And this is something that we can bring them. How do we do that? So I'm going to give you a formula that I use. An event leads to an encounter, which leads to a friendship, which leads to community, which leads to mission. Event, encounter. So an event can be something like this, like Youth Day. They come back all enthused. But it could be a conversation. It's something that happens where you experience a little bit of God, which leads to that encounter, because you can say no to that. You can be like, thanks, but I'm not. And when somebody has an encounter, you hear things like, wow, I really felt God. Or sometimes, young people show it with tears, things like that. And then this is when we come in. We come in with the gift of friendship, walking with them as a youth minister, accompanying them. And we build a community. Now, sometimes with youth ministry, it ebbs and it flows. It's like the tide. Sometimes the tide is high, sometimes it falls low. We keep at it because there's going to be a time where those eight young people, it builds up again. But following this format. So take those eight people, bring them here, and they're going to come back all enthused, have them feel like they have a community, and then young people are going to be attracted by that. But very important, it has to lead out of itself, because if not, we're just serving pizza. It has to lead to some sort of mission. And with young people and all the legal stuff, I'm not sure exactly what you can do. Maybe they can make sandwiches and give them to the homeless. Maybe they can do a volunteer thing with the Missionaries of Charity, something when they're serving and giving to somebody that they can't give back to them, is part of them internalizing everything that they're receiving, and then it feeds itself. They come back after they go and do some sort of service thing, they come back more dedicated than ever. I don't know exactly what all it works, but I can tell you it does work. So I just offer that to you. Event, encounter, friendship, community, mission. Thank you for the work that you do, Juan.
Thank you, Father Agustino Torres.
Thank you, Juan. Thanks very, very much. Our guest is Father Agustino Torres, Franciscan Friar of the Renewal. We're talking this hour with folks right here with us at the Anaheim Convention Center at the Religious Ed Conference, Los Angeles Religious Ed Conference. If you'd like to ask a question, this is Thomas the Tank Engine just sat over there, and Thomas will help you get on the list to ask your question. I have a question I wanted to ask you, Father. Well, first of all, it was clearly not your first rodeo. A question like that might elicit just support, but that's actual content that you gave Juan to help him.
If Catholic Answers wants me to write a book for them, I've been thinking about these things for a long time.
This is not a question. Catholic Answers does want you to write a book. I'm not allowed to make those deals, but I know that there's a contract now currently going through the mail to get you to write a book for us. Thank you, Father.
No, yeah. It's how do we evangelize a post-postmodern world?
Is really
the question that we're tackling here.
All right, we got another question. Am I correct? Is it Sam? Hello, Sam. Go ahead and grab that microphone.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Very good. Thank you for coming by, Sam.
Of course. So my question was, how do we evangelize to someone who is at peace with their life in their own religion?
Oh, so they're not interested.
So my mother, she's not Catholic or anything like that. My father is. And I was trying to evangelize to my mother, and she's like, I don't really feel like a call or a need to believe in God. I'm happy with my own life. I found my own purpose outside of God.
Very good. Thank you so much, Sam, for that question.
Sam, that's a good question. First of all, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for, can I just say, I'll definitely take that to prayer and keep your mom in prayer. This hits close to home. So one of the rules I have is that anytime this is family, it is by definition a long-term project. By definition, there's no short-term gains here. It's something that we're investing in for honestly the rest of our life. She's always going to be your mother, right? So think about it in those terms, and so that means that you're not going to see any results immediately, and that's okay. You got to be okay with that. I would say if she's not interested in God, she found her purpose, then the only Bible she's ever going to read is you and your life. So try to be, I know this is hard, try to be like that best version that Christ is asking you to be, because you're going to be that witness. And then life has a way of bringing stuff up, that when she does have that question, when she does have that struggle, she's going to think of her son, who is actually very devoted to God. Now that's something to put on a young man. I'm not sure how old you are, but guess what? You know, by our baptism, we're already receiving grace to do this. So this is already something that the Lord is giving us the grace to do. Do we always do it? Well, we're not perfect. I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but what I am saying is that to be authentically Catholic, to live, as John Paul II said, the normal high standard, the high standard of normal Christian living every single day. And eventually your mom will begin to ask questions. Eventually there's times, unfortunately there's times of sadness, or there's times of crisis, times of challenge, somebody gets sick, somebody passes away, where we always be asked the questions of what happens afterwards, and then have a ready answer. It's like, well, we believe in the resurrection of the dead. And so those are moments in my own family. Like, my family didn't know what to do with me when I was studying to become a priest. But when some of my family members have passed, it really opened up the doors to those conversations that I have always wanted to have with them, but the moment had to be right. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sam, thank you very, very much. And just so you know, there's a group called Catholic Answers that, as you're looking for those answers, they will help you. Just go to Catholic.com. It's a fantastic website.
Yeah, I got a bunch of your guys' books.
Oh, you got a bunch of our books. Okay, Sam. Thanks very much. Father Agostino Torres is our guest. We are at the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress at the Anaheim Convention Center and having a great time. Again, I just want to say how grateful we are to EWTN Radio. They explained to me how to do all these sliders right before the show, and I have not done one of them correctly. Tom Price has been here to fix every problem that I have created. So don't forget, keep that EWTN thing between the water bill and the gas bill, because they're very helpful when we need them. Father, I wanted to ask you, I got the chance to talk with you just a little bit before we went on the air, and I'm reading Chesterton's biography of St. Francis, and boy, is that intimidating. But one of the points that Chesterton made is from the time that Francis embraced poverty to 10 years later, by 10 years later, 10 years after he embraced poverty, and Francis did not go out on the internet or, you know, didn't have a TV show, 5,000 men were wearing the Franciscan habit within 10 years. And actually, as I was saying that to you, you said, we got to learn from that in our catechesis. So what do we got to learn from a person like St. Francis?
Great question. I do not pretend to be a Franciscan scholar, so if there's some Franciscan scholars listening to this,
I'm halfway through the book, so I'm now a Franciscan scholar, yes.
Feel free to correct me then. But I have studied extensively the life, the history, the context of the times. And what was going on is that there was a huge shift. It was a change of epoch,
yeah,
during the time of St. Francis. It was the cities began to grow as the center of society, whereas, you know, for a lot of different reasons, you know, for about 800 years, it was more agrarian, or, you know, kind of like sticking to your forts, or going over to your monasteries and kind of like sticking with the monasteries. Now that cities began to grow up, one of the innovations of St. Francis I remember my professor in seminary saying, like, you know, Francis invented monks on wheels. So it was like the prayer life of a monk, but the itinerant nature of where people were at the time. There was people moving all over the place, and so the friars were going to where they were. So to kind of bring the gospel to where the people were at was one of, if I may say, the innovations of St. Francis.
Okay.
But by and large, the whole thing is the story of St. Francis captivated the medieval mind.
Yes.
It captured their imagination, and people were absolutely brought back to faith. Faith was growing cold And there was all these itinerant preachers who were preaching against the papacy, against the Eucharist. This is what St. Anthony of Padua, his work was. He was going out preaching against a lot of... There was a lot of, quote-unquote, anti-faith going on at the time of St. Francis.
That's a very, very, very good point, yeah.
And so...
That's what the Dominicans are all about, is responding to that.
Exactly. And a couple of the Augustinians are a little bit older than us, but they kind of also began around this time. But there was a lot of other groups... And people, faith was waning. You know, like there was war. The Pope was waging wars against the Catholic. There was, to put it this way, there was a Christian fratricide happening in Europe. We were killing each other, and that does something to your faith. To say nothing of all the other things going on, and so when Saint Francis had a vision at the Chapel of San Damiano. And he heard Jesus say, "Rebuild my church." And when it came out that the Pope had a dream, this is very, very much the mode of the medieval mind. The Pope had a dream that the church was falling apart. Now, that's very vulnerable. And now the other thing is like the revolution of mercy, the August 2nd, the blessing of the mercy of Assisi was a coup. And so...
Can we continue on the... I don't know if you can hear that music, but we got to take a quick break. Will you mind just hanging on to that?
Absolutely.
We got to hear about this coup. I didn't know we had a Franciscan coup.
We'll be
right back
coup.
With Father Augustino Torres. Catholic Answers Live, coming to you live from the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world. But it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Deepen your connection to the Church's holy days and seasons while you draw on the wisdom of the Church Fathers. Feasts of Our Fathers, the new book from Mike Aquilina and Adam Lucas, is a treasury of history, prayers, insights, and lessons that will bring you closer to the earliest of Catholic traditions. Take your prayer life and your solidarity with the Church, past and present, to a new level. Order your copy of Feasts of Our Fathers today at shop.catholic.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. A little bit of Friday groovy music for you. And we're having a groovy time here at the Los Angeles Religious Ed Conference up here in Orange County, California. It's north of where we are. We're in San Diego. So we're, you know, an hour or two north of where we usually do this show from. But it's nice. So we're meeting all kinds of wonderful people. Are they novices? Two young Franciscan novices just came by and said hello to us. And having a great time talking with Father Augustino Torres of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. We're talking this hour about evangelizing Gen Z. Father has made the point that something drastic has changed in the lives of young people. As a matter of fact, I guess it would be fair to say this is something, what the young people are experiencing today as they come from childhood into adulthood is an experience that has never been had by any generation in the history of the world.
I think that's correct, Si. Yeah. To see, like, I don't think that... The mind has kind of caught up with the change in life that has occurred constantly. I think fundamentally what has happened, this is my theory, that there's been a fundamental shift to childhood. Like the way you and I grew up, Sai, is different than the way the young people are growing up today.
Yeah.
And I think that we're seeing some of the shift in some of the catechism classes and some of the schools. They're talking about, like, so what do we do with this? And, you know, there's a lot of people talking about a lot of different theories. But this is kind of like it's happened. And perhaps we should be talking about how to raise children better. But what about children who are already here?
Yeah. Right.
And this is the Gen Z question.
So we were speaking a little bit about St. Francis before, and just what are the lessons from the... That was a different... Like, you called it an epical change. It was a change of epoch. That's what we're in now.
Absolutely.
So what can we take from the example of St. Francis in how we evangelize and catechize today? That's great, where we were.
Great question. So I mentioned that there was a coup of mercy. St. Francis asked the Pope, in Francis's time, you had to go to the Holy Land, Santiago de Compostela, or Rome to receive a plenary indulgence. And St. Francis said, like, well, what if they just come to Assisi? And then the Pope said, okay. And then Francis asked, well, what if they just come to a Franciscan monastery on August 2nd? This is called the Pardon of Assisi, right? And at the time, to receive that was a coup. People were kind of like shocked. Wow, that's all you have to do? And Francis was like, yeah, God loves us. Yeah, this is his mercy. He wants to give us his mercy. And so this shifted, like, you can do a whole study of, like, the art history shift at the time. Some people have said that the incarnationalism of St. Francis brought about a renaissance in art, in depicting the body of Christ, Jesus in Bethlehem. The tradition of the Christmas creche began by Francis. You know, at this time, it's like this whole focus on that Jesus was human in his nature, fully God, second person of the Holy Trinity, just a little doctrinal thing here, but had a full human nature.
Right.
And what does this even mean? He was a baby, and this captivated people's minds. And the Stations of the Cross, also a Franciscan tradition that Francis didn't invent, but kind of came from the Franciscan spirituality. It's like focusing on this man, God, Jesus, who came into our mess to save us, captivated people's minds. And in another epical shift, Pope Leo XIII, Industrial Revolution, society was changing. He, and I'm paraphrasing, he wrote an encyclical on St. Francis saying that when the world grows cold, all we need to do is renew the spirit of the founder of the Franciscan order. So, applying to our times, in some way, shape, or form, I think, you know, we can agree that there's many aspects of our church that we need to maybe rebuild credibility.
Okay.
And how do we do that? Well, St. Francis went to the lepers. He went to the poor. And that's something that nobody is going to argue with. Wow, you're doing a good thing, right? And we're not doing a good thing for brownie points. We're doing a good thing with the poor. We're serving the poor because the gospel is asking of us. Jesus is saying, I'm there in the poor. Matthew 25.
Yeah.
When you did this for the least of my brethren, you did this for me. There is an encounter waiting for us with the living God in serving our little brothers and sisters in the poor. Not because we're better than them, because I have news for all people who are listening. We're not. We're brothers and we're all in this together.
Yeah. Right.
And so when we encounter Christ in the poor, like St. Francis did, we begin to live the gospel in an incarnational way. A church centered on the Eucharist. St. Francis was all about the Eucharist. He would stop before every church and just say, "We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you've redeemed the world." At every single church, there was a need for emphasis. And I think that devotions, processions, is a way that we can live this today. And that captivates people's imagination. We just did this whole Eucharistic
Congress there.
Congress, yeah. And this captivated people's minds. So this is along the lines of how Francis can inform us today on this change of epoch.
I almost gave out the phone number, but I'm not going to give out the phone number because all the questions are coming from right here at the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress. Father Agustino Torres is our guest. I shouldn't go through the hour, though, and I'll get on to more questions, but how can people find out about you? Like, is there a website? Is there a, if they want to support you in what you do or reach out to you, or where do they go?
Yeah, franciscanfriars.com. The only thing that we're selling there is the gospel. I'm
glad to hear it.
But also the group that I helped to found, CorazonPuro.com, .org, I'm sorry, which is the formation of a lot of the inner city young people. And very happy to receive whatever help anyone would like to send our way.
If you have a question that you'd like to ask, anybody here is welcome to come up and ask a question. We'll give you this microphone. You just got to check in with Thomas the TikTok Engine. That's Thomas the TikTok Engine. You're welcome to ask whatever you like. We're talking about evangelizing Gen Z, evangelizing this young cohort, this young group that have grown up, as the way you described it, is they never lived in a world without an iPhone 4. And that's that really is a kind of, it's like a chasm we cross. We're not going back, but this, I at least the way that I take that image that you gave us is, it's constant connectivity. That, like, when you and I were kids, you could, like, go outdoors and there was no phone out there. Like, there was no internet. Like, you just, if you couldn't entertain yourself by throwing a stick at something or then you just weren't entertained. But that just seems so fundamental, the difference between that and what we have now.
Yeah, and I think that there's seeing some of the shifts in the young people, like they've never heard some things before. Also, the studies are saying that this is the most biblically illiterate generation since Gutenberg.
Really? They don't know the Bible at all?
They don't know the Bible at all.
Oh, yeah.
So when I'm talking to, I teach the course on preaching to the brothers, I say, tell the story. Don't just say, like, well, you guys know the Bible, it says this. I say, tell the story, describe it to them. You know, don't just read it, describe it to them. And young people are fascinated. They eat it up. They're hungry for it. There's a spiritual hunger that they have. But at the same time, it's almost like they want somebody to walk with them. The other thing that's really interesting is that podcasting is very impactful for them.
Yeah.
So the Sunday homily, amazing. We need it. Thank you, Jesus, for the Sunday homily. But young people are consuming content from Monday through Saturday. And so, like, my one of the things that the research shows is, like, to take things in snackable content. I'm like, why can't, like, you know, the Catholic Church just, like, take the Sunday homily and turn it into, like, you know, a couple bits that people can listen to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Right.
Kind of, like, rehash it a little bit and break it down, because this is how their minds begin to process information.
Wow.
So these are some of the new things that possibly... people like EWTN and Catholic Answers might be able to think about, because this is totally possible, too.
Well, I don't know if you heard me refer to that gentleman behind you as Thomas the TikTok Engine, but the reason we call him that is everything we do, he's going to take some of this and post it on TikTok, so, or on the Instagram, or even the really old-fashioned stuff like Facebook. That's only for, I don't know, 80-year-olds now.
Yeah, they're using it, though. They're there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I think point taken. I mean, we're learning that. And I can tell you that, you know, at all the Catholic, and maybe Tom Price could vouch for this at EWTN, Catholic media companies or Catholic media apostolates, we have to think about these things, because it's true that I visit a lot of Catholic radio networks, and if you want to jump in, Tom, you're welcome to. Tom Price from first of all, the nicest man in Catholic radio.
Oh no, that's your EWTN. Job.
We're the Heckle and Jekyll of Catholic radio.
Yeah, I would just say this, and something that we launched, maybe 2 years ago now, is EWTN Podcast Central.
Yeah.
Where we have over 100 podcasts all in one spot, and not just content that we're creating, but content like you're talking about, podcasts from Australia, podcasts from everywhere, because this is what people are gravitating to. Mm-hmm. They're gravitating to other things as well, but clearly this is something that EWTN wanted to get involved with. It was our founder's mother, Angelica, who said, you have to be where the people are. And so from that day, back in the day, we've always looked at whatever new media is coming along. You mentioned Facebook. We were very early on Facebook. We were very early on YouTube and all the other ones that have come after that. And now just about every social platform known to man.
Right.
And maybe even some from Mars. I haven't checked.
Yeah.
But
right.
We're all over.
But you got to. And then I think it's also and this comes brings us back to you, Father, Father Agustino Torres, our guest. We're discovering that there are the young people. There are these people that have a talent for this, and we're finding them now. It took a while, but we're finding them. So go ahead. It looked like you want to say something, Father.
No, I'm very grateful to EWTN and to Catholic Answers for being pioneers in this. And you guys are the pioneer. I was speaking to a friend of mine, also very active in evangelization. The Catholic Church used to be the innovator in culture.
Right.
And I do believe that we will be that leader again. I think that in a lot of ways we're trying to catch up to a lot of things, and technology has made it so that the playing field is much more level, because this technology is much more accessible. But I came across, this is hot off the presses for me, the founder of Patreon, James Conte, at the South by Southwest conference, said that there's going to be another change in Epic right now. Maybe not in Epic, but like he's saying that the age of the followers is going to die, because the algorithms are making it more and more increasingly difficult to build followings on these traditional platforms, Facebook and Instagram. And he's saying the age of the superfan is emerging. And so he was saying, this is like cutting edge, like the world. He's saying to do exactly what EWTN just did, to have a whole bunch of topics or content sources where people can just find like their thing. Like maybe there's a podcast on Harley Davidson Catholics for Life. And that's their podcast.
I think Keith Nestor is doing that one. Right?
I know a lot of guys that would follow that, by the way.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
And it'll be less, but they're going to be the super fans.
Oh,
and when you yeah. say, like, hey, I'm going to be over here in Anaheim, they will find a way
to get there. How yeah. wonderful. Yeah.
And so this is kind of like the where the church is usually kind of waited for all this to happen. You guys are doing it right when it's happening, so kudos.
And you, Father, go ahead, Tom.
No, well, I'm
Tom
just
Price.
Saying something that you mentioned there is one of our newest shows with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, Beacon of Truth, which is a fantastic show. But he will riff, along with our producer, Ace, they will riff about a particular genre of music, because he's a guitarist, Ace is a guitarist, and, you know, so coming out of bumper music, which you wouldn't normally think about, all of a sudden, here's something, here's a Motown jam from the 60s, and they will start talking about that. That's going to attract somebody that normally would just go, bumper music. But all of a sudden, here's something being brought up about Earth, Wind, and Fire, or who knows, even from today, from Jelly Roll.
Yeah. Now, see, now don't say things I got to go look up now. Is Jelly Roll somebody famous?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just, with it. Come on.
Sorry.
I just found out about him. I was like, wow, this guy's interesting.
There's some very interesting lyrics where he actually talks about Our Lady.
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, sometimes he sounds like a preacher.
Which gives us a chance for interaction, too, though, which is
exactly.
that we have to be able to get into that conversation. We can't be so, I don't know, precious about the gospel
Oof.
That we won't get into the conversation Oof. With people.
Yeah.
My formula is laugh, engage, use things that they know, and then bring them higher. So when I give talks, I spend at least the first 10, 15 minutes talking about something that's specifically them. Usually it has to do with food. Sometimes it has to do with culture. Sometimes it has to do with just like something that happens that they know, that they connect, build rapport, and then bring them to the gospel, connect it to the gospel. And thanks be to God, it works, and it has helped me evangelize Gen Z. But I think that it's a conversation that needs to be had. It's a difficult conversation, because in some way, shape, or form, as Catholics, we have to connect these people from their phones into the actual institution. And they're very suspicious.
There you go.
Of
right.
the institution.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, we have to take a break. Can we talk about that when we come back? Like, how are we going to get them to Christ in the Eucharist? That's what I want to know. I mean, I want them everywhere, but let's get them to Christ in the Eucharist. Father Agustino Torres is our guest. He's a Franciscan friar of the Renewal. We're talking about evangelizing Gen Z, and we'll continue that conversation from the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the Church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended Church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, having more fun than I probably should be allowed to have. Prepare Your Heart. That is the book. At least one of the books. He's going to be a Catholic Answers author. We found out last hour. Father Agustino Torres is our guest this hour, Franciscan friar of the Renewal. We're talking about evangelizing Gen Z. And we left with the question for Father Torres about how do we get from the... I think there's actually young people listening to Matt Frad. Like, I think he's doing a great job. I think there's... Oh, we know because they come up to us here at the conference. There's young people listening to Catholic Answers. You're doing this work that's bringing thousands of people closer to Jesus Christ by sharing personally with them how much dignity they have because of the love of God. So let's make, and Peggy, you want to get on the microphone? Peggy here has a question for you, and I think it's similar to the question we left with. Peggy, go ahead.
Sure. Thank you, Father. Appreciate your ministry and your love of the Lord, because that's ultimately what matters.
Amen.
I have a question in that we have to be in all the places that young people are, and wherever they are, in social, online, wherever. But ultimately, evangelization happens person to person. Jesus Christ sat, he dined, he befriended. So how do we get, we stay in that arena of social media and internet connectivity, but move young people to a place of person to person evangelism, get them out from their screens, get them into person to person, and ultimately get them back to the Eucharist, which is the most powerful person-to-person evangelization. So just your thoughts on that.
Yes. So a couple of thoughts. So that's a big question. And so my answer is going to be somewhat obtuse, but I want to address that in a couple of different ways. So we say that young people want community and they crave it, but they are absolutely terrified by and large by it. So we need a radical welcome. So we need to kind of create a culture where when young people, we have a young people event, like a lot of times they hear about this on social media and they're like, should I go? Maybe I shouldn't go. And they're in their car in the parking lot considering leaving right there. And so for us to have people who are there who are saying, hey, welcome, has saved people's lives. I've seen it happen where they feel not just welcomed, but that they belong. This whole sense of not belonging is very, very extant in a lot of the Gen Zs. So let's tell them that they belong, and say that out loud. No, this is your home. You belong here. And they'll start thinking like, me? Like, you don't know everything I've done. It's like, hey, that's okay. Which brings me to my second thing. I believe that the sacrament of Gen Z is confession.
What? I'm surprised, Father.
Because they have a sense of not feeling heard.
Oh.
And in confession, that's all that happens.
Yeah.
I'm listening to them, and I hear them, and miracles happen in confession just because it's confession. But they have an experience of God at that sacrament, and it's usually the building block of them looking for more. Now, that said, the adoration is very, very powerful for young people too. The music, they do feel something. It could be emotional, somewhat emotional, but it shouldn't stay there. And we're not saying that. At the same time, it's not wrong for them to experience something emotionally, but that the beautiful thing is, if there's a community, they can also kind of like have a place to grow. And this is where I might shock you, Peggy. So in the streets of the Bronx, I've learned lessons from the street gangs. And the street gangs have a structure and a hierarchy, but they have a familial sense. Now, it is for an evil purpose. And if anyone wants to leave the gangs, you know, in Jesus' name, you can do this. But like, what I did is like, I took their structure and I built it into the community that we were forming, so that there's a way to kind of like, I guess, level up in the community. So like, after you go to 3 meetings, then you're eligible for this. That after you go to the next stage, then there's the next stage after that. And like, they feel like they belong to a place and that they can actually do something. And like, wow, I did this. And now, you know, an identity. I'm telling you, the power of t-shirts. There's all
really?
These t-shirts companies. And like, t-shirts create an identity, and it builds like a sense of ownership and responsibility. Wow, I got this t-shirt. Wow, yeah, do you need any help with anything? I've seen it work. And so these are some of the, it might sound very simple, but I've seen this work in perhaps one of the most difficult places to do ministry, the South Bronx.
Yeah.
And if it can work there, it can work anywhere.
Thank you, Frank. Frank Sinatra, ladies and gentlemen. Peggy, thank you very much, because that's the ground level question is a sacramental question. I'm very interested to hear you say, because it's the sacraments of the encounter with Jesus in the sacraments that we want every human being to have. Every human being. No one should be excluded from that. Jesus doesn't say no. He says yes to everybody. But we got to get them to come there. I'm very surprised to hear you say confession. I would have thought conversation was difficult for this group, that they would be so uncomfortable even just to have a conversation with the priest that they might not go to confession.
True. But so then what I do is that when you get them there, you cultivate the event so that confession is always available. You kind of like have to coach the MCs. Hey, the priests are there. They're giving a little catechesis of what this is. If you don't know what to do, you can just ask the priest. Don't worry. And like, kind of like, you have to, there is some coaching that is necessary. It's not just confessions available. But then they see, we had this lady come up and she hadn't been to confession in 30 years. The reason why I know that is because she told everybody. And so she was the one telling, hey, you guys need to go to confession. I haven't been to confession in 30 years. I didn't know what to do. Like, you guys need this. This is great. And it becomes like, it's like zero advertising necessary.
Yeah.
Like the young people, they come and they share with each other. But it requires an invitation. You're right.
I'll just tell you this. I went to the juvenile detention with a priest one day, and these are tough, tough kids. And he couldn't hear all the confessions. It was a line around the whole cell block of people. They didn't care. They did it right in front of each other. They
yeah.
stood up. They wanted a priest to talk to. And that I have to say, Father, that's the first time it really hit me that priest shortage is not just a statistical thing. It's not just like, oh, you know, where the budget's a little. We need priests like you. We need people that can hear these confessions.
No, and I want to shout out to all the priests who are so generous in hearing confessions and pouring themselves out, because I remember my spiritual director, he just passed away, actually, God rest him. He taught me what to do after hearing 4 or 5 hours of confessions. When I felt crushed, he said, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I don't know, Father, what am I supposed to do? You bring it to the cross. You're not meant to carry that. You bring it to the cross. So I just want to give a shout out to all the priests who are so good at hearing all of our sins. Thank you, fathers.
We probably only have about 60 seconds with you, Father. I don't have a very clear clock, but in those 60 seconds, maybe you could encourage us about where the hope is for Gen Z as far as the Catholic faith?
The hope is great for Gen Z. They are looking for purpose. They're looking for guidance, but they want to do it in the context of relationship. Build the relationship. They'll follow.
I guess it was less than 60 seconds. God bless you, Father. May we and our listeners have your blessing before we go.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Oh, how wonderful. Father Agustino Torres, and I'm saying this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but I hope I'm serious, the new author for Catholic Answers Press. That's my hope, anyways. Hey, Tim Staples is coming up. We'll do Ask Me Anything. Hang on. We'll be right back with more from the Los Angeles Religious Ed Congress on Catholic Answers Live.